Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey EU Startups, if you're running a startup like me, you have more than enough on your plate. So when a prospect asks if your company is ISO 27001 or SOC 2 compliant, you're probably thinking, how the heck are we going to do this? We don't have the time, we don't have the manpower, and we definitely don't have the know-how. That's where Sitel comes in. With our automated platform and in-house expert to manage the entire process for you, you'll get compliant super fast. Compliance has never been easier.
So if you need help with compliance, visit sitale.ai/EU startups. That's sitale.ai/EU startups for $1,000 off your first framework. Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups podcast. My guest today is Bianca Zwart, the Chief Strategy Officer at Bonk. Bianca, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to have a chat.
Amazing. I hope I pronounced everything right. I just asked you off air if like how to pronounce your surname and how to pronounce Bonk, but I hope I did well.
Perfect. You did fine.
Amazing. So let's dive right into it. Bianca, you started at Bonk answering support tickets, and you're now the youngest. I don't know if you're the youngest. I don't know from where I have this information, but the youngest chief strategy officer in banking. What's your story, and what's been the wildest part of your journey so far?
That's a good question. What's my story? Actually, your question makes me realize it has been quite a ride. But let's start at the beginning. So I guess I never followed the script in the sense that I had a linear career path. I remember when it was time to go study at university, I had to choose what to do. And like everybody else, I had no clue. But I've always been a person to believe that there are no limits to what I can do. So I saw endless options, right? And ultimately, I decided to just do something I thought I'd like. So I decided to study Spanish language and culture. And my intuition just said it was right. I always loved words, languages. And I didn't understand why I simply couldn't study something I liked. I saw everybody around me thinking about their career path and what's next. I was like, you know what? I'll be fine. Yeah. So after my studies, I worked for a traditional bank, which wasn't going to be my dream job. I knew that from the day I started. But I thought, why not? They're looking for people who speak multiple languages and just surely something I can do. So, and indeed, it wasn't a match, but that really became clear to me one morning during one of our daily stand-up meetings in which we go over the day's key points. So imagine this, a room full of bankers all suited up and me trying to look somewhat presentable because I wore a skirt under my oversized sweater. And one of my colleagues mentioned this new bank that just launched. And it was built by a bunch of techies who wanted to change the world and create a bank for the users. And everybody started laughing, like, you know, that bankers in suits laugh, like, this is, that will never work. But something triggered me. I hadn't felt so motivated in such a long time. So as soon as the meeting ended, I went to my computer. I applied right there, right then at the bank. For Bonk, this new bank. And a few weeks later, I joined Bonk. So first I joined indeed as support, then led the team, eventually grew out to be head of PR. Took a little detour to have my own businesses, and I came back as chief of staff to our founder and CEO, Ali. And now, since a couple of months, I am chief strategy officer, the youngest, they say. I feel quite old.
Amazing. This is such a great story.
Yeah, thank you. I think, sorry, just to end that, you asked for the wildest part. I think it's simply the fact that I haven't been bored one single day. Or maybe it's just how fast you can grow when you're just in the right place, right?
Right. Amazing. I love it, Bianca. Actually, what drew you to, like, since we are here already, what drew you to Bonk in the first place? Was there a moment, when you knew this was where you belonged?
Yeah, so what drew me to Bunk was the moment I just told you about. Yeah. And I think because ever since I was little, I've been allergic to the phrase, that's how we've always done it. And at Bunk, I found the exact opposite. I found the company built on questioning the status quo and constantly finding better ways of doing this. So when I joined, it was just after after Bunk launched to the public, and it happened to be a week in which we had a Bunk update. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those. It's a moment where we introduce new features for our users. And I remember that at the time, it was just in the beginning, we were a team of, I believe, 30 people. And we built groundbreaking features in just a matter of days, something that like traditional banks would have, I don't know, they would have needed months, perhaps years to get it up. We got into the trenches together and just simply got it done, right? And that in that moment, I remember being like, ah, there's more people like me. I love it here. Mm-hmm. And I think beyond that, it's also the kind of place Bunk is. Just for context, I am an introvert, which means I'm often not the loudest in the room. I'm not talking for the sake of talking. And in more traditional settings like traditional bank, I would often feel out of place. And here at Bunk, content matters more than volume, right? It's a place where it's about the value deliver, not office politics or who talks the most. And that's, I mean, it's so refreshing.
It is. It truly is. Bunk is built for digital nomads. And right. so is your life. How has your own experience kind of shaped the company's direction?
That's such an a good question, I think, because living it is the best way to truly get it, right? Mm-hmm. When you walk into the user's shoes, you don't just see the pain points, you feel them. So our users are numbers, are not numbers, they're not numbers. I've got the word not. Our users are not numbers or graphs. They're real people with real needs, and it's good to validate that experience yourself. Mm-hmm. So I live quite an international life too. We spoke about it before. This episode, I split my time between Amsterdam and Rome, and I travel quite a lot for work as well. So I put a lot of the things we do to the test. And I probably drive Tom, which is our head of new products, nuts, because I always send him my feedback right away. So I went to Turkey the other day and I needed an eSIM. I literally sent him a voice memo while getting the eSIM and talking him through every single step, right? I was like, I don't understand this. Why is this asking this? Oh, this is cool, right? So, and I know now he's truly, well, he's working on making that better. And that's so nice to see. I have more examples, but I don't know how much more time we have, but I could talk for hours about this. So, okay, let me get one more. I was traveling to Ireland the other day, to Dublin for a conference, and I was sitting in a taxi from the airport to the hotel, and I started talking with the taxi driver. And obviously I tried to sell Bunk to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, that sounds amazing. Oh, I really am looking for a great savings rate. And then he asked me, do you automatically declare the taxes for your users for their savings account? Mm-hmm. And I was like, why do you ask that? Because in the Netherlands, where I mostly spend my time, that's not a thing. And he's like, yeah, every bank does that here. So I texted some engineers. I was like, why don't we do that? And they were like, good point. And we now do. So I think it's really living it, because what sounds great in theory doesn't always work in practice. So it's really that common sense check. And I think you live a quite an international life. I believe you lived everywhere across the world. So it's probably familiar to you too that you need to adapt to a local 100%. Reality, right?
Mm-hmm. Bianca, you guys took an unconventional path. Becoming profitable before scaling. Why was that the right move, and what's been the biggest advantage?
Yeah. So that's actually something we were so convinced about, and something I truly believed in as well since I joined. And it turned out to be the right move. But speaking of wild rides, it's been quite a wild ride. We never knew if it was actually going to be the right move, right? We took an unconventional move or path during a time in which money seemed for free and up for grabs, and everybody was raising money left, right, and center. We chose to remain independent. We've been completely self-funded by our founder, Ali. And it's the reason we believe that is simple. We wanted to show everyone what banking could be, right? How user-centric it could be and what a great experience you could have. So mm-hmm. we wanted to build something real, something that actually delivers value, something that people love so much they're willing to pay a couple of euros for it. So before we started scaling, we wanted to have a healthy, profitable business, get the basics in order, and then it's time to scale. And I think the biggest advantage there is that, I mean, it's a couple of things. We now have a proven model that we can scale. We have full control. And we actually managed to build a business, I think is really cool, that's only successful as long as our users are happy. So it also keeps us focused on exactly the right things.
That's how all the businesses should be, right?
I mean, in an ideal world, yes.
Bianca, so most banks, they feel outdated and rigid. What do you, or maybe what do they get wrong about what people actually want from a bank? Speaking of making users happy.
Right. I think the main disconnect is that they think that there's one kind of person that wants something from a bank, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, there are many different groups with many different wants and needs.
Yeah.
But if you're not in direct contact with users, it's very easy to miss that. Or if you have a business model, like traditional banks do, that is not focused on making their experience better, but making money with their money, it's very easy to miss. Mm-hmm. So when I worked at a traditional bank I just told you about, everything within that bank seemed to come down to just one thing, making money with people's money. Mm-hmm. I remember my manager telling me one day, like, hey, this client just sold their house. Why don't you give them a call and sell them this investment product that we have? So I asked him, sure. So how could this product benefit the user? To which he said, who cares about that? It's the product that makes us most money, right? So at Bunk, we talk to users every week, everyone, in whatever position you are in the company, you answer a couple of user tickets a week to really focus on what matters most, our users. Mm-hmm. And in anything we do, we try to put them first. But I think the main thing, the main disconnect is that there's so many different people with so many different needs. And the only way you're going to see that is if you actually talk to them.
Yeah, true. And also that, you know, going through those TCANs keeps you connected to the users, right?
Right, exactly. And also, like, it's, again, a common sense check, because certain things in theory are amazing. And then in practice, you see a user struggling with a certain process or feature, and you're like, oh, actually, we can do that way better.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I love that approach. So I think we already established that bank isn't just another bank. It's a kind of a movement.
Right.
What's something about the company that still excites you every day?
Well, first and foremost, I think the people. Mm-hmm. There are so many intelligent people here who just want to do great things. And something interesting is happening right now because we're scaling up, right? So in the beginning, there was a lot of young people who joined, then they stayed at Bunk and they left. And there's a lot of those people actually coming back now. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of them because I left Bunk as well for a while. We're so-called boomerangs. So I believe we're already 30 people put in the company. And we truly come back because we went out there and realized nothing else was really like it. So something that excites me is that the people, it is the, I have never done it before, so I'm definitely think I can do it attitude within Bunk. And also, I told you before that I'm allergic to the phrase, we've always done it this way, right? And within Bunk, it's very much like, oh, you've always done it that way. That's great for you, but it doesn't make any sense. So we're going to definitely change it.
I like it. And they say, don't step twice to the same river. Or something. Is that a saying?
I'm not sure if that is, but you mean make the same mistake. Or hit the same stone twice.
It's kind of cool, like that. I like the boomerang analogy that you guys like just left and then like checked, like had some other experiences and just came back,
right?
Back and like you keep building it and growing it. So, I wanted to ask you, because you already mentioned that, actually about the fact that you left back at some point. You've worked with multiple startups before, or like in between the first back experience and the second one.
Right.
What's one lesson from those days that still guides you or guides your decision-making?
I think it's many, but one of the most important ones is the importance of a growth mindset. So most people have a fixed mindset. So they think, I can do this really well, for example, but I can't do that. There's things I can or cannot do. I have never thought that way. I think with enough effort and dedication, I can learn anything. And that belief shapes every decision I make too. And from my experience with other startups, I noticed a pattern. A lot of tech companies love talking about innovation, but they don't always reward people for stepping outside of their comfort zone. Or because growth really requires discomfort, failure, and really pushing through it. So I think you should hire people and have a culture in which that's allowed, that where a growth mindset is the baseline of the exception. And I think this mindset also influences the decisions you make. So the only wrong decision I think to make is to not make one. Speed matters definitely as a startup. Waiting for perfection means missing opportunities, quite frankly. And perhaps lastly, as another lesson, I know you asked for one, but
I always ask for one, but people never can tell one, you know, it's all, it's never one. It's never just one.
No, I know it's many, but I'll do one more, I promise. So people often think that leadership is about solving complex academic problems, right? But at the core, in my opinion, leadership is simple. You have a list of problems to fix and you have a list of people. Do they match? Yes or no? If no, what are we going to do about to fix it? So hiring is everything. To Stephanie's one thing I've learned.
I love it. Bianca, you also oversee strategy, you know, PR and user operations. How do you keep all these moving pieces aligned while staying user-centric that we that you are so much? Because it's just, you know, it comes out of this conversation that we talk about users probably every second question or every second sentence.
Can't help it. Sorry. How do I keep the focus? So
How do you keep all these moving pieces aligned?
Since our users are our strategy, like you said, I mentioned it every other second. Overseeing strategy and operations makes perfect sense because you can't have one without the other if they're at the core of everything. But if I look at the company as a whole, because it's not just within my team, everything we do at Bung starts with one single question. And it's not going to be a surprise now. What's in it for our users? So if you make a business plan or want to change anything within the product, it needs to be rooted in a real user need. The question is, what's in it for the user? If you cannot answer that, it's literally the first question of any business case. We're not going to do it. And I think that's the only way to keep that focus.
Nice. I like the answer. Bianca, if we fast forward 5 years, what's your dream?
I will no longer be the youngest.
But or maybe still, we don't know. We don't know who's going to be next.
Right.
If you fast forward 5 years, what's your dream vision for Bank?
Ooh. So ultimately what we're doing, we're building the first global bank that people love to use. So that means we need to achieve three things. One, we need to keep building a product that people love to use. Quite simple. Secondly, we need to go truly global. Our users are international. They need a bank that's global too. So expansion while adapting to their local realities, like we just spoke about. And thirdly, is beyond our product. One of the reasons we started was to have an impact on the sector as well for the end consumer. Because banking at the time, we were the first in 35 years to get a full banking license. Banking, there was no competition. It was all a bit of the same thing. So if it was not for players like Bunk, what would the apps have looked like now of traditional banks? Would they be as good? How low would the interest rate have been? And it's already quite low at many traditional banks if it was not for players like Bunk. So our impact has always extended far beyond our product. And looking forward, that will only grow.
Amazing. Bianca, I really love this conversation. I wanted to ask you about your... Okay, maybe let me put it this way. Your career path, you know, proves success doesn't have to be linear.
Right.
What advice would you give to someone who's kind of carving their own?
Right. And it needs to be one again, right?
It doesn't have to be one.
Okay.
Even better, right?
I'll secretly.
You can build a library of advice for people. Like, they're going to love it.
Right. I might. One piece of advice, I would say challenge everything, anyone, including yourself. I think you owe it to yourself, to the world, to see how great you can be. I think you need to ignore people that tell you you're not quite ready for that yet or anything similar that's just not really useful advice. And I think most importantly, yes, it's another one. You need to do things you actually enjoy. Because if you want to build a company or work at a fast-paced company or whatever it is that you want to do, the road isn't for the faint-hearted. So you better do something you really like so you get that energy to get up every day and put in the work. Because it's not about the external achievement, right? It's not about being able to put it on LinkedIn later. Take running a marathon, for example. Or anything else that you train or work hard for. I actually ran my first marathon the other day. I had trained for it nearly a year. Blood, sweat, tears, rain, shine, training.
Nice. Congrats.
Thank you. Mainly it rained because I was in the Netherlands. But when the race was over, everybody asked me, are you happy? And the thing was, I wasn't. I felt a bit lost. You know, I didn't know what to do next. But I gave everybody the socially acceptable answer. Yes, very happy.
Because were you happy? Were you happy preparing for it?
Exactly. That's exactly the point. So here's the thing, at least for me, the true success isn't that medal around your neck or the finish line. Because when you finally get it, it's never as good as you imagined it to be. So the real win to me was not the day itself. It was the process. It was keeping a promise that I made to myself. Showing up every day, because when you're on top of that mountain, right, you always find a bigger one waiting. So the real reward to me is becoming the kind of person who keeps going no matter what. The finish line actually was never at a point.
Amazing. I love it. That would be a perfect ending of this conversation, but I actually wanted to ask you something more. Bianca, actually, you know, the reason why I always ask for like one piece of advice is just because like this advice was so good. It's one, I just want like just one, I know that people have many, just one the best from each of the guests that I have on the show. And then I actually build for myself this kind of a library of advice. And then whatever I need in life, in whatever moment I am, I already have it, you know, like, because I don't have to ask for it when I need it. Because then maybe you won't get it. Maybe you'll get a bad advice. Maybe you're just going to be too much in a position to, you know, that you need it now and you don't have it. So it's better to kind of build this kind of library of advice proactively. And then whenever you need it, it's already there. You just can go there and
Right, kind of that's cool. That's a great idea. I might do that as well. And what's the best advice that's in your library? Or do we need to look it
up
now?
That's a tough one.
Because nobody
that's a tough account. One. And also, it's me who's asking questions here. So,
I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. But I'd
no,
love
Bianca,
to hear something.
I don't know. Like, actually, this one, the one that you just said, is I think it would make like top of the library list. Bianca, last one. You know, the sound of I live between Amsterdam and Rome, it's like music to my ears. Don't you ever think or feel like, let me just drop it all for some time and go to Rome and leave my version of Eat, Pray, and Love?
Oh, I do think about that sometimes, but then when I'm in Rome and I love it so much, I'd love to be there a lot, often, but when I actually have to get something done, I miss the Netherlands and I'm happy to go back to the Dutch efficiency. So I actually love the combination
of okay, I need to get something done. Let me
exactly.
go to Amsterdam.
Exactly. I mean, they did really invent life there. They know how to enjoy life, good food,
yeah.
good conversation.
Dolce far niente.
Yeah. Esatto.
Nice.
But yeah, so I like the combination. That's something I realized. It's not either or for me. I love to see it all.
Amazing. Bianca, thank you so much for the time that you spent with us. I really love the conversation. I probably could talk to you for hours, but we don't have that much time, unfortunately. Thank you so much. And I think the listeners will love it. And I hope to see you soon in person.
Thank you so much for having me.